Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, I normally say that the Jewish man that God himself has had cross your path is not an accident. God wants you to demonstrate his kingdom through signs and wonders and love him to the Messiah. And I urge you to get a copy of my book, They Thought for Themselves, Birthed by the Spirit of God, Directed by God Himself, to reach unsaved Jewish people with the gospel. But now I'm going to change my line a little bit. In addition to the Jewish person that God has crossed your path, I say that God has had a Muslim person cross your path, that he wants you to demonstrate the kingdom of God through signs and wonders and lead that Muslim person to the Lord. And I have on the telephone a former Muslim, which was his total way of life. He was born in Pakistan, and he has come out with a book called 10 Amazing Muslims Touched by God. And I have to tell you, Faisal Malik, I am overwhelmed with what your people go through to come to the Lord. I mean, in Judaism, it's tough for a Jewish person to become a believer in Jesus. We lose our family, etc. But we certainly aren't buried alive or murdered or maimed or beheaded. I mean, it's bad, but nothing compared to what happens to Muslims. Why, just out of curiosity, why is there such hatred to their own family members when they receive Jesus?
No, Sid, the reason is because for a Muslim to turn their back on Islam is apostasy, and it says in the Quran that they should be killed. And so that's why families get so upset when we come to know who Jesus is, and often go through these type of hardships. But what's amazing is that the revelation that we experience of Jesus when we encounter him exceeds the fear of what might happen to us for following him.
Well, why is it that within Islam, within Judaism, within Hinduism, within Islam, it's very difficult for someone to be open-minded, but it appears to me, and you know better than me, that per capita, so many Muslims are having dreams and visitations of Jesus. Why Muslims? Why is this happening to Muslims right now?
You know, Sid, this is the same question I asked the Lord many years ago, and he said, many Muslims are going to come to know him in this season. And I said, God, how is this going to happen? And one of the things he said, I'm going to do it through dreams and visions, that they'll see a man clothed in white with holes in his hands, and he will say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you see, Muslims believe that since Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, died, the only way God can speak to them is through a dream or a vision. So literally, they're open to dreams and visions. I remember growing up, and as a family, we would talk about our dreams, wondering what is God trying to tell us. And so it's an open door, really, that God is using to reach the Muslim world. It's number one, their time, but it's also a way that God can communicate, a language that he can use. And so Muslims are always open to dreams and visions. And I've even found in conversations with Muslims, if you ask them if they feel they've had any dream from God or a vision, and 90% of the time they would have had something, and they'll share it with you. So this is an avenue that I find God is using and that Muslims are very open to. He's literally writing the truth in their hearts and putting it in their minds. And dreams and visions is one of those ways to do that.
You know, I just read the most amazing news report from Egypt of a Muslim man that killed his wife because she was just reading the Bible. That's all she was doing. Then they buried her with her infant baby and 8-year-old daughter. Literally, the girls were buried alive. Tell me quickly what happened.
Yes, I met with a missionary from Egypt, said, and he told me this story firsthand, where a man killed his wife in Egypt, and the two daughters were buried alive with her. One was 8 years old, and the other one was a nursing baby. And 15 days later, another family member died, and he came back to bury that family member and found the daughter and the nursing baby alive. And so the elder daughter, 8 years old, was sent to a news station with an Egyptian woman as an anchor. And interviewing her, she asked her, "How did you stay alive?" And she said, "A man clothed in white with holes in his hand came every morning, woke up my mother to feed my baby sister, and he ate with us for these days." And the woman immediately said, "That sounds like Jesus. And if he has holes in his hands, maybe he did die on the cross." And then immediately the news feed was cut off the television. So that's a powerful story of the resurrection of Jesus.
But the thing that's so amazing to me, Faisal, is there are so many of these stories going on right now. Something amazing. It's almost as if there is a window of God's mercy on Muslims at this moment in history because perhaps of what God knows is coming shortly in the future.
Absolutely, sir. This is the time where God is reaching out to the Muslim world, and I agree with you. It's a Kairos time, a window of opportunity.
Okay, you were born in Pakistan, and Islam was your life. What do you mean by that?
Well, I grew up wanting to serve Allah, wanting to serve and honor Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. I remember, for example, after school, I would go to this special place, and we would study the Quran every day for 3 hours and just recite the Quran, study the Quran. The goal was to be a person that is faithful to Allah, that lives for Him, that's willing to die for Him, and willing to spread Islam all over the world. That was the mindset in which I grew up, wanting to honor Allah.
And what was your view towards Jews and Israel?
Well, the Jewish people, we were taught that they were like dogs. That's what the Quran said about them, that they were very stubborn people, and our view towards them was negative. We thought they were the people that refused God and all the prophets that were sent to them. And we, as Muslims, were the people that had the responsibility of carrying out God's will on earth. And even the Christians themselves were deceived in that they were spoken to by prophets as well, but they changed their scriptures, they changed the Bible. That was kind of our mindset about Jews and also about Christians.
Now, you had a passion. And it's an amazing passion. It was a misguided passion, but you literally wanted to teach Jews and Christians about Islam. You found yourself involved. You came to Canada, I believe, and you found yourself involved in multi-level marketing, and you found out there was a church service at the multi-level marketing group, but if you went there to the church service, you'd be in the front row for when they had the lecture of the top people to teach you how to make millions of dollars. So you found yourself at this Christian meeting, and the man says, "Come forward if you want to receive the Messiah," and you went forward. Why?
Well, first, I didn't know he was calling us to receive the Messiah. I thought it was my opportunity to debate the man because he really offended me because he said Jesus is the Son of God. And as a Muslim, that made me angry. And then when he began to give this invitation, I kind of ran to the front. In fact, I was one of the first people there. But before I could confront him, literally 3,000-4,000 people tried to fill that front area, and I got stuck to that stage area, and I really couldn't do anything. I couldn't leave, but I remember him looking at the audience and saying, "Will you pray this prayer with me?" And he asked them to pray that Jesus is the Son of God. And I remember saying, "No, I can't say that. I'm a Muslim." And I prayed my kalma, which is the statement of faith that Muslims have. And that's kind of my first experience being at a meeting where someone was talking about Jesus.
Okay, so you went to a second meeting. The same thing takes place. And all of a sudden, it dawns on you, I can do what these Christians are doing. I can use my multi-level marketing program to cause people to be believers in Islam. I mean, you must have been pretty excited about that revelation.
I was, because I was taught if people are successful doing what they're doing, learn from them, and so you will be also. And so I knew these people were getting results, and that's exactly what I began to do, Sid, is having more debates and arguments with these Christians, with these Jews, trying to help them understand how the Bible has been changed, the Torah has been changed, and how they need to follow Islam and become Muslims. And so I went back to another convention, and again they gave me a front row seat, and I knew this time what the drill was, so to speak. I knew what they were going to be doing, I thought. And towards the end, when this man began to talk about Jesus again and how that if you believe upon him, he'll give you the right and power to become sons of God, he asked everybody in the auditorium to stand. So 20,000 of us, we stood up, and he began to give this invitation again, and I thought I don't need to respond. And while he was doing that, suddenly the living God showed up and said literally his presence went right through me, went right around me. I remember being alone with God. I had all these thoughts running through my mind as to why is God here? Why would he manifest himself amongst such people that are blaspheming him by worshiping Jesus? And in the midst of all that, I asked God one question, and I said, God, what are you doing here? I thought these are the bad guys. And I heard an audible voice, and he said, no, these are my children. No, these are my children. He said that three times. And when he said that, I immediately knew that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, all my Muslim experience, everything I had known about Islam was fading away in this encounter, and I realized that Jesus is the Son of God. It was the only thing I knew in my life at that time. And I remember walking forward and saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my stony heart. Give me a new heart that I can love the Father like you. And I said, I believe in my heart that you died on the cross, you shed your blood for me, that you were born of a virgin, and you rose again from the dead. And that's how my whole life changed, and that was July 3rd, 1994, Sunday.
Okay, hold that thought, because then Fassel had an encounter with the Spirit of God, and wherever he went, Muslims would start weeping and receive Jesus. As a matter of fact, 99% of the people, Muslims, non-believers of all kind, came to the Lord after he had that visitation. In fact, some 1,500 came to the Lord. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. However, I need you to write me today. We put together two teaching CDs called East Meets West, in which these former Muslims have had such encounters with the Spirit of God, it's going to bounce on you, rub off on you, and you're going to become normal. You're going to be moving in these signs and wonders. They understand in the East the invisible world like few people do, and they want to teach you how. In addition to these two CDs, we have this book, 10 Amazing Muslims Touched by God. You want to read it yourself? It'll make you understand what a normal Christian is, and then give it to the Muslim person that God has crossed your path. Both available, the two CDs and the book, for a gift of $40. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural!, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH. Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.